Coming up next, another edition of Reaching Out with Gregory Floyd, president of Teamsters Local 237.
Welcome to another edition of Reaching Out. I'm Gregory Floyd, president of Local 237, Teamsters. Our very special guest once again is Congressman Gregory Meeks. Welcome back to Reaching Out. Thank you for taking time out of your busy schedule.
Mr. President, it's always good to be with you.
Yes. And you know, you was once my congressman, but I never left my house. They just move in the district.
They keep it every 10 years.
Yeah, they just keep moving the district. Yes, you were here, then you weren't. Yes.
But you got a good congresswoman now. And Laura. So she is hitting the ground running. And Laura Gillen, and she is really making me proud, and I'm sure she's making you proud of the constituents out in that district. But I still miss you all, and I'm still going to be out to do whatever I can to be helpful there.
Very good. And she was a previous guest on our show. She was our last guest, so mentioning her is timely. So there's a lot going on in Washington, D.C. these days, to say the least. You've been in Congress since 1998. You've done a lot of things over the years. So let's discuss your take on some of the red hot issues. The new Republican budget plan, winners and losers.
Well, look, the American people are the losers. That's for sure. What the new, the budget plan or the continuing resolution, that's what was just the vote that we just passed because we did not have an agreement on the budget. And so therefore, they voted for a continuing resolution. Now, it started out that was supposed to have been a clean continuing resolution, meaning no changes from what had been agreed upon previously. But of course, there were substantial changes, an additional 100 pages that were added therein, which really was increased spending so that Donald Trump and Elon Musk could take care of their billionaire buddies at the expense of average everyday Americans. So the American people are the losers as a result of that. And the billionaire friends of Donald Trump and Elon Musk are the winners because this $800 billion that they're looking for to take away from Medicaid will go to the rich billionaires for tax cuts. That's what their plan is. So the winner, billionaires. The losers, the American people.
Now, there's so much talk about this budget. You know, the anger on all sides. People are angry. Let's take our time, and I know you will be able to tell us, had this budget not passed, what would have been the results of shutting down the government? Because I know a lot of people don't understand that. When you get lost in emotions, you don't understand the other side of the coin. There's bad, and there's worse.
So there was a no-win situation. Actually, because of all the things, the devastating things that Donald Trump has done in just a little over 50 days. And people got to realize it's just been 50 days. And I know for most folks, they feel like it's been 2 years, 3 years, but it's been just 50 days. So it's a no-win situation. And I think that where the controversy may have come in because the House voted one way and the Senate voted another way. But the real deal is a shutdown would have meant that all of the federal buildings and except for essential workers, et cetera, that all of those things would have been out. You know, no one would be working. No one would be getting paid in that regards. And then the question, I think the big question when Chuck Schumer decided to vote the way he voted was, how do you end the shutdown? I think that's what the question was, because on the other side, when you look at the continuing resolution that was passed, and you look at what's being taken place right now by Trump and Musk, they're virtually causing a shutdown now. Because when you decimate all of the agencies, IRS, the Consumer Financial Protection Bureau, the Social Security, you know, I could just go down 16, 17, 18 different agencies where over 200,000 people have already been fired or laid off. And there's more that's coming. The government, in essence, is going to be slowing down or shutting down now people's Social Security checks probably will be coming in late. People, you know, who's looking for tax refunds going to come in late if we're going to come in because, you know, Education Department yesterday. Continually, these things are happening. I think where the controversy comes in, and I think that we need to make sure that folks understand that Chuck Schumer and me and the House and Hakeem Jeffries, we're all on the same page and that we understand who the problem is and who we need to focus on. And that is the dangerous policies that's being put forward by Donald Trump, who wants to be not the president of the United States, but the king of the United States. And the controversy basically came in that those of us on the House side, because we voted all except for one Democrat, voted no on the continuing resolution. And then Chuck Schumer and 10 of the other Democrats voted yes. It's about leverage. And I think the problem though was the lack of communication between the House and the Senate, between Chuck and Hakeem. Not that we thought that Chuck is trying to help out the Republicans or help out Trump. We know that's not the case. We fixed that. I know Trump is, you know, trying to take advantage of it, but Hakeem and Chuck has had a conversation. Hopefully we fixed that communication so that we, you know, we won't be surprised, because that's what happened on the House side. We kind of were surprised that the Senate or those 10 members were going to vote the way that they did, given the way that we voted. So I think we fixed that. And I just urge folks to stay focused on who's really causing them pain and causing harm, and that we recognize the angst that the average citizen have and the fact that they want to see action and demonstrations and things that's moving on. That is important. And I think that you will see marches in the streets. And a lot of that's going to come from them. You know, people, that's what gives us the power. When people hit the streets, we have a strategy of trying to make sure that we win the House back in 2026. And that's a little, we could talk about that later. But also winning in the courts. There's over, you know, these are Democratic governors and Democratic attorney generals who are bringing hundreds of cases into the courts. And as you can see, day after day, we're winning those cases in courts. It doesn't happen overnight, but it takes time to put together a brief and to bring cases and have them decisions that starts to override. Now, rightfully so, people are concerned. Once folks are laid off or agencies are shut down, how do you bring them back? And how do you bring them back full strength? Well, this administration may not want to do it, but if we stop the bleeding, then we'll be able to start turning things around in 2026 and 2028. But lastly, it's a reminder, and I've got to say this, Greg, that elections matter.
Oh, yes,
and voting matters.
Yes.
There's 500,000 people that voted in 2020 that did not come out to vote in 2024. And most of those votes were Joe Biden votes in 2020 that did not vote Kamala Harris or anyone in 2024. That is the margin of difference. Had people come out to vote, because none of this should be a surprise to anybody what Trump is doing. They told us what they were going to do with Project 2025, but now they executed it. And we tried to tell everybody that. So none of it is a surprise, but we got to focus on making sure that we vote so that we don't have individuals like Trump and Musk that come to try to destroy our democracy.
Now, you mentioned elections have consequences, voting matters. I'm just watching all the social media. I wonder now that Trump is in office, his first 50 days, forget about 150 days. I wonder if the Muslims in Dearborn, Michigan regret doing what they did. Because when he declared that the Gaza Strip will now be a resort that he will be in charge of, I wonder if the Muslims in Dearborn, Michigan regret their decision. I wonder if all of the Venezuelans in Florida regret their decisions now that their mates and their family members are being deported. The Cubans, etc. I'm just watching all of the videos and they're playing the video, "I will vote for Donald Trump," along with the same woman who was there. They lied to us. I'm like, well, that's what liars do. They lie to you. And, you know, You can do no more than tell people what it is, and they either believe it or don't believe it. But we saw this before in 2016. And, you know, I say, you know, I might make a mistake, but I don't want to make the same mistake twice. And we've done that. And, you know, and if somebody else makes a mistake, I don't want to make their mistake. And it seems like we just can't get out of our way. We can't learn. And you notice I've been very quiet over the last few years because I just see where this is going. And some people say, we got to rise up. We got to do this. We got to do that. Sometimes you just got to sit still and let the other people, meaning the Republicans who put him in office, the Republicans, the MAGA people, because they're going to feel the hurt. You can tell me how they're going to feel the hurt. Tell me the farmers who regret their decisions now that he's canceling contracts, buying food, and the hospitals that are closing in rural areas.
Listen, you're so right. Just think of the promises. He's the biggest lie. He's always lied all of his life. But the promises he made, and folks believe them, that on day one, inflation will go down. No, inflation has not gone down. Inflation has gone up. MAGAs and people around America are going to feel that. The price of food has not gone down. It has gone up. MAGAs and Republicans around the nation are going to feel that. The largest Medicaid cut in American history is happening. MAGAs are going to feel that, and all around individuals that voted for him are going to feel that. You look at what he is trying to do in reference to tariffs, and that's going to be devastating, and that's going to drive prices up. So you will see that children and seniors and people with disabilities that depend upon health services, for example, that Medicaid does, that's going to, you know, to be devastating to communities. When you look at what he's doing in regards to, you know, you've indicated that I'm the ranking member, former chairman of the Foreign Affairs Committee. You know, a lot of times people don't understand how foreign affairs affect our domestic lives. Really important. He said day one he was going to end the Ukraine-Russia war. Well, here we go. And basically what he's trying to do is force Ukraine to surrender and give Russia whatever it wants. How does that affect us domestically? Well, that's really a battle also about who controls the Black Sea. Why is the Black Sea important? Because a lot of commodities that come to the United States to end our products and our food comes through there. And when it's blocked because Russia is having this war with Ukraine, that causes prices to go up and thereby has a direct effect on us and the MAGAs. So everything that's taking place, treating our allies as if they are adversaries and our adversaries as if they are our allies, giving up some national security information to our adversaries and keeping it away from our allies affects our national security. So these are reasons and ways that what this guy is doing who wants to be king is going to affect them. You know, when you stop USAID, you know, the USAID actually puts over $6 billion into the U.S. economy, very especially, as you've indicated, in agriculture. And so now a lot of the agricultural farms in middle America are going to be already devastated and have lost billions of dollars already. So all of these things are interconnected. And I would just ask folks to listen to podcasts like yours, but get your news and your facts, not just from listening to Donald Trump and these MAGAs that are maybe on some of these shows or on social media, because they are lying to you. And now, you know, it's like the chicken's coming home to roost because you're seeing and you're going to have the effects of these policies.
You're listening to Reaching Out. I'm Gregory Floyd, president of Local 237. Teamsters, a very special guest. It's Congressman Gregory Meeks. Now, you mentioned everything that's going up. Can you mention one thing that's going down? Stock market.
You got that right. I was getting ready to say market. That. If you got a 401k, is what I was getting ready to say. If you got a 401k, if you got anything that's investing a lot of us from your jobs, if you look at that, that is going down. You know, folks don't even want to look at it right now because of it being so devastating to them. So you look at that, that's going down because of the insane, irrational, unpredictable way of which this current president is handling the economy in the United States.
Let's talk about all the research that's been eliminated to cure diseases, cancer research, the COVID virus, bird flu being ignored, CDC not being allowed to share information with everybody. I mean, have we seen this before? Here we are back in 2020.
Well, look, we are back to where we were in the first presidency. And people should remind themselves, and I hope they remember, because they did not vote for him again. Some of it because of the madness of him telling people to drink Clorox to cure COVID. And how he mismanaged the country in that crisis and how, you know, it was devastating throughout. How even, you know, you talk about in Charlottesville, he was talking about there were good people on both sides. And what he's trying to do now is to go back to really Jim Crow for people of color. You see the way he's dealing with, you know, without any proof or anything else of that nature with migration and trying to put folks in the way that, you know, we were back to the McCarthy era, what took place in that regard. And you see his actions overall. There's a time in history in the 30s where we saw very similar things taking place in Europe. And we know that led to dictatorial leaders throughout the continent that had an effect on America again. So, and as you talked about, look at the people that the incompetent people that he put in place as head of various agencies. You talked about bird flu and you look at measles and everything's going on. And he put a person in that is anti-vaccines. And as a result, you know, you see diseases that we haven't seen in a decade or more now coming back as a direct result of what his policies are. And lastly, I just say the Consumer Financial Protection Bureau, which was put in place by Congress that to protect the average everyday consumer. He has decimated that. And just yet, our kids, the education department, it will cause children who are disabled, who are poor, they will suffer. And we've got to remember why the education department, one of the reasons why it was created also, to stop the states from segregating schools and changing history as he wants to do. To eradicate the contributions that all Americans made, especially those who may be Native American or African American or Asian American, Hispanic American. We're all part of American history. They want to try to wipe that clean.
Have we ever, ever, ever in any lifetime seen such a mess?
No, that's because he's trying to be king. And this is why I warn of what took place in the 1930s. There's a strategy, again, it's all in 2025 that they put in place. So the first thing individuals that you get rid of are the inspector generals, are the individuals who would inspect in a nonpartisan, an independent way, what's going on, the overseers, the watchers, and so you get rid of all of them. You make sure they're there, and then you put somebody in place that they have pledged allegiance, not to the country, but to this president. And if you hear what they're saying, they don't believe in law. They're not even listening to the judges and the judges' decision. They're trying to go past them and say, it's just the king's decision. That's not who we are as America or Americans. We have fought, Greg, you have fought a lot with reference to labor and workers to make sure that unions are in place, to make sure people are not taken advantage of, et cetera. So what he's done, he is going after union members, all of the federal government, whether it's the NTEU or the AFGE, he has gone after them and trying to destroy them in the Social Security Administration, the CDC, the FDA, all of these agencies that are here to serve the American people, all of them who are part of unions are now, right now, 200,000 of them out of work. So it's who he is. And we can talk about for what he has done in 50 days. But I'm thankful for you, and I'm thankful for others that are taking these cases to court. I'm thankful for the people we got to take to the streets. We will do what we have to do legislatively inside to try to get whatever whatever leverage that we can, but to fight and to wake people up so that we know that don't run away from the Democratic Party at this point. Come to it to say that we've got to stop this madness by encouraging folks to be involved and getting ready to vote in 2025 and 2026.
Now there are a number of House races that will be going on now. I think a couple in Florida, there's one in New York State. There's a possibility of closing that leadership gap within the next couple of months. I hope there's a concerted plan to bring this to the attention of those who are being affected, because especially in Florida, without the Department of Education and that governor that they have there, they're not going to have an education system.
Yeah. Look, there's important elections that are coming up in 2025. The first of one, which will show whether Democrats are going to come out, is in Wisconsin. And that's for one of the Supreme Court judges that are there. And so we've got to be focused on that. And anybody that knows anyone in Wisconsin and or can volunteer and go there, that's going to be sometime in May, that election. Then we've got two big elections that will take place this November. One is in Virginia for the governor of the state of Virginia and, of course, New Jersey. We've got to make sure we win those elections, because that then will push us into the momentum of making sure that we win in 2026. And I caution the folks, even in New York, you know, as we are in a race for mayor, and no matter who you are supporting, what I say is this: we cannot take for granted that whoever wins a Democratic primary will be the next mayor, because we've seen situations before where we had a Rudy Giuliani and or Michael Bloomberg who ran as Republicans, and they were able to win. So we've got to keep our mind on the prize, our eyes on the prize, as we get through the Democratic primary to make sure that we fight through that's just a little battle. But the war takes place in November. So we've got to make sure that we maintain what we have so that we can win in November. And that takes us working, together, because otherwise folks will think that, you know, they can do whatever they want. And, we made a mistake even in the city of New York, even though we did not lose the city of New York. But when we saw this guy run for president who'd been convicted of felonies and all kinds of things, but do better than almost any other Republican candidate for president has done in a long time, that rings bells. That says that we've got to wake up and move forward. And let me just say, Greg, because, you know, I admire so much your leadership with Teamsters. And I admire the federal employees. That's why, you know, this is really important, because federal employees are not disposable. I want to make sure that people understand they are not here to get rich. Nobody in labor is getting rich. They are here to serve, and they're serving people. And they have families to provide for. They have bills to pay, just like everyone else. And the administration has done nothing but be cruel and heartless to them. And it would be others in the workforce that they would do the same thing for. You know, it's all clear, again, as I talked about earlier, for Project 2025, about what this administration's position was on labor.
Thank you. And unfortunately, that's all the time we have for this segment of Reaching Out. You're welcome to come back. We invite you back again and again and again. Conversation was very, very enlightening. And also, you informed a lot of us on what's going on. Thank you for coming back on Reaching Out, Congressman Gregory Meeks.
Thank you for having me, Mr. President. I love calling you Mr. President.
Thank you. I appreciate it. Thank you for joining us on Reaching Out this edition. That's all the time we have for this segment.
Thanks for listening, and don't forget to tune in again each and every Saturday at this same time for another edition of Reaching Out with Gregory Floyd, president of Teamsters Local 237. The preceding pre-recorded program paid for by Teamsters Local 237.